السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. الله سبحانه وتعالى the most high created us for a noble purpose and that is to worship him alone سبحانه وتعالى. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. That he سبحانه وتعالى did not create mankind neither jinn except for one reason, one purpose, and that is to worship him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to focus more on what is worship. What is ibadah? Is it something that a person would do once in a while? Something once a week? Whenever a person would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the busy life, then the person will be called a worshipper? Is it certain rituals and that's it? The worship or al-ibadah in al-Islam, it's such a comprehensive word. Something that encompasses the whole entire life of a Muslim. There is nothing in our life unless we can fit it under one of the rules of al-ibadah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the only purpose of our existence. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in the Quran, the thing between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that taraktu fikum ما إن تمسكتم به فلن تضلوا بعد أبدا كتاب الله وسنتي, which means I left among you two things. If you hold fast to it, you would never be led astray. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah, the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why these things that we're talking about, the human beings have no capacity to know these things unless the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with this truth. The human being on the face of earth, they know how to eat and drink, and they have an idea of how to gain some sustenance and provisions and so on and so forth. And some of them are very superior in this. But when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made in the heart and in the nature of every human being that they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the creator, He is the sustainer, He is the provider subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then they are in need of the messengers of Allah, alayhim as-salam, to order the people to worship the creator of the heavens and the earth alone. And that's why this is the first obligation, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The first call in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nasu a'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum, walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O mankind, see this is the first call in Surah Al-Baqarah. O mankind, worship your Rabb, your Lord, the one that created you and created those who before you, so that you will be among those who have taqwa, those who are righteous, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the purpose of our life. Everything in our religion has to be related to this fact, to this purpose, and that is the ibadah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's our belief, our act of worship, our mannerism, the different rites in our life, everything has to be linked to that purpose of our creation. And that's why, as the ulama, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them, they classified the different ahkam, the different rulings, into five different rulings. One of which is mandatory, fard or wajib. One of which, the opposite of that, which is haram, which is something that is not permissible, a sin for a person to commit it. And you would have which is closer to what is recommended, what is obligatory, is what is recommended. Al-mustahab, what is recommended, if a person would do it, he would get the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person doesn't do it, then there is no sin for such a person. And the opposite of that is the makruh, is the disliked. Not quite a sin, but it's getting the person closer to the sin. And the fifth rule is al-mubah, or what is permissible. And that's why anything in our life would fit in one of these categories. That's why the only purpose of our creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Another thing is that we need to witness very carefully, we need to witness the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when He created the human being is bound to make mistakes. We are deficient by nature. Otherwise, there is no means or reasons for the tawbah or repentance or asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained this fact very clearly. He said alayhi salatu wasalam in the authentic hadith, كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمْ خَطَّاءُ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, that every son of Adam, خَطَّاءُ, that means he is committing sins a lot. He's bound to make mistakes. He's deficient when it comes to the sins or making mistakes. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directing us for us to understand and to get to know who among the human being, the son of Adam, are the best. The best of the sinners are those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not say that the most perfect, obedient human being. He said the best of the sinners. The best of those who make mistakes are those who would be constantly in state of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we see and when we ponder over these meanings, it means that we are bound to make mistakes. And when it comes to mistakes, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would treat us with His justice subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us, we deserve to be punished because we have deficiencies. Nobody can claim that he or she are sinless. We did at one point of our life, even if it's a word, an action, something. It's enough that the person is not able to fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most perfect way. That a person is not able to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most perfect way. If we look around us and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are countless, we cannot count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, that you can never comprehend it. The bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created within our own selves, something that the mind can never comprehend. It is countless, it's endless bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can we perfectly fulfill the state of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped at all times, without being bored whatsoever. With every second and every whim and every part of our life has to be only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that, we would fall into deficiencies. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the human beings to repent, to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in state of return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the verses towards the end of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this fact very clearly. إِنَّ عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. This amana, which means the trust, the purpose of our creation, the fact that a person, that the human being has the ability to choose to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ability to choose not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is such a heavy trust, because as a result of bearing this amana, the outcome of it in the hereafter, either the person will be among the believers in Jannah or among the sinners or the disbelievers in the hellfire wal-iyadu billah. That's why when the verse says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented this amana, presented this trust to who? To the heavens, to the earth, to the mountains. And they refused to bear such a heavy trust. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, and the human being is the one that took it upon himself. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا, that means the human being is bound to commit injustice against his own self, and he is ignorant, because this is such a heavy amana, heavy trust. But then you see the verse afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning about the three categories of people on the face of earth. لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا, which means, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish the disbelieving men and women, and the hypocrites, men and women, punish them. And then when it came to the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that He would admit them Jannah into Jannah like this. He said, وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, يَتُوبُ from tawbah. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would repent, would accept the repentance, forgive the believing men and women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiver and He is the most merciful. That means the believers, they are in need of what? They are in need of the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our lifetime job. when we know the purpose of our life, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and then we are doing our best with sincerity, following the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as we heard in the hadith earlier, two things that if we hold fast to it, we would never be led astray: the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the believers, they work hard and they are sincerely doing the acts of worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're constantly steadfast on the straight path. But if they would slip out of weakness or out of overwhelming desire or whatever there is, they would immediately repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive them, they are also among those who will be punished. But if the believer died in the state of al-Islam, and he died in the state of a sin, but he's still a Muslim, on the tawheed, on the oneness of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive such a person, or that person will be punished, and then eventually he will enter Jannah. So I would like for the viewers to look into this very carefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Jannah and the Hellfire, and this is part of our belief. The Jannah, the paradise, there's no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, no hearts have ever imagined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the believers out of His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, He subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Hellfire, the place of justice, the Adl, the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who committed disbelief, associated partners with Allah, committed sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is their place, the Hellfire. If we look into this, and this is our final destination, and if we see ourselves as travelers, and no matter what we do, the person has to reach the final destination. Our goal in this life is to do what? Is to protect ourselves, is to save ourselves from the Hellfire, to be among the people of Jannah. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran in many verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Which means what? Every single soul shall taste death. That means death has a taste to it. All of us, we shall face this destiny that we all shall die. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and each person will be given the rewards in full. When? In the day of judgment. Not in this life. In the day of judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. The one that is pushed away from the hellfire. And the word زُحْزِح, if you listen to it in the Arabic language, and the letters in the Arabic language, by the way, have certain feelings to it. See, when you hear it, you say زُحْزِحَ. That means he is being pushed away. Pushed away from what? From the hellfire. And enter Jannah, فَقَدْ فَازْ. This is the real win. This is the superior win, that a person's goal is to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this life is nothing but a delusion. Because many people are in state of intoxication, state of forgetfulness. They're not aware of what's coming ahead. And when the moment of death comes unto them, before they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's too late. And then the person would see things very clearly once the moment of death comes. But then he would wish that he would come back to this world, but it's too late for such a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, guiding us in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for us never to be heedless, never to be in state of forgetfulness, and look ahead of what's coming ahead after this life. And that our goal is to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be saved from the Hellfire. What are the means that we need to take to protect ourselves from the Hellfire? Such a serious question. Did we ask ourselves this question? What are the means to protect ourselves from the Hellfire? As the verse says, whoever is shifted away, pushed away from the Hellfire and enters Jannah, he's among the winners. So what are the means for the person to take, physical means, so that we are protected and saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the great ulama, scholars of this religion of Al-Islam, he mentioned 10 points. Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned 10 points of how to protect ourselves from the hellfire. We cannot cover them all in this program, but we can start and we can see and ponder over and make it upon ourselves, how can we achieve these 10 means and 10 points to save ourselves from the hellfire? This is part of our belief, by the way. And belief is something that is in our hearts, belief, and something that we say with our tongue, things that we do with our parts of our body. And this is what al-iman is. Al-iman is qawlun wa amal, something that we say and actions that we do, something that increases and decreases. So we need to practically embrace the religion of Islam in its totality, so that we seek the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are these 10 means to save ourselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, there are 4 of them in this life, while we are alive. 4 things, 4 jobs that we need to achieve in this life to save ourselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after this life and in the barzakh, or the transition state between this life and in the hereafter, in the graves, there are 3 means. Now it's not in our capacity anymore in the graves, but these are means of forgiveness of the sins for the person to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Day of Judgment, he mentioned 3 more things. 3 things that are means for the protection from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first 4 means for saving oneself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, and this is basically our own input in it. This is our own actions. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. In the capacity of every human being to achieve, to protect themselves from the punishment of Allah, I would mention them briefly as points first, and then we can discuss them inshallah ta'ala. We won't finish them, all of them in this program, but it's something that we can continue if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life. He said the first thing is at-tawbah, repentance. The second thing is al-istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing is the good deeds that wipes the sins and the bad deeds. And the fourth thing are the calamities that afflict the person in this life. They are all expiations of one's sins. These are 4 things in this life. And there are 3 things after a person dies, one of which is the dua, is the supplications of the believers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the deceased. Like in Salatul Janazah, for example, when people would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the one that died. And what is being done as good deeds, seeking the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the deceased. Like, for example, the dua and the sayings of the ulama with regarding to the other actions. Or hajj, for example, or umrah. Or fasting, if a person did not fast an obligatory fast and he died, the one that his guardian can fast on his behalf and so on. Also, what happens to the person in the grave? The different tribulations in the grave, and there are tribulations and fitan, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith. We'll get to it inshallah ta'ala. These 3 things in the graves, for the believers, those who died in the state of al-Islam, are all means of forgiveness, expiations of sins. If the person did not fulfill the jobs in this life that are mentioned earlier. And then, if these things in the grave was not even enough for the person's sins to be forgiven, there are things in the hereafter. One of which is the tribulations in the Day of Judgment, the horrors of the Day of Judgment that people would see with their own eyes. And this is something that is explained in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Another thing is the intercession, shafa'a, of the Prophet ﷺ and the believers to one another. And this is something that is knowledge that we need to learn. Also the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would pardon his slaves and his forgiveness without any means from the believers. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. He forgives whoever he wills subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. He is not to be questioned subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the human being is the one to be questioned. So let's focus onto these 4 things that in our life we need to do something to make sure that we're taking the path of Jannah, that we save ourselves from the path of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. There are many verses in the Quran, many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to take the time to learn the religion of Islam. We need to take the time to go to the houses of Allah, in which the circles of knowledge are there, the authentic knowledge, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to gain the knowledge that we are in need of it, more than we need food and drink, more than we need the sun and the moon, the life that we live in. Because without this knowledge, then the person is in state of forgetfulness. The first thing that he mentioned is at-tawbah. At-tawbah, it's an Arabic word, as we of course know, means literally, linguistically, means to, for a person to return, to be in the state of return to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَفِدْرُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, which means flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never have a second thought when it comes to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have the good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if the person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. This person won't be let down. He won't live a life of humiliation, a life of misery. If he returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the believers a goodly life in this life and in the hereafter. So repentance linguistically means that a person returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And religiously, at-tawbah means that a person would fulfill three conditions. If the sin is something between the human being and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of which is to quit the sin, to stay away from the sin. This is a condition for the repentance to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A second condition is for the Muslim to regret that he or she had committed a sin, disobeying the Most High subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most Powerful, the Most Merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that provides for us, the one that created the air for us to breathe, and we still insist to disobey him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all forms of injustice. And that's why the worst injustice is when a person commits disbelief and disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sins are injustice also when a person knowingly would disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So repentance is to quit the sin, to regret the sin, and the third condition is to have the strong will and intention that the person won't fall into the sin again. If the sin was something has to do with other human beings, took money from someone, backbited someone, and so on and so forth, then the fourth condition is that you seek forgiveness from such a person. Otherwise, in the Day of Judgment, it's the matters of good deeds versus bad deeds. People would exchange these things by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it's mentioned in some of the meanings of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they would get even with one another in the Day of Judgment. In the Day of Judgment, there is no room for forgiveness from the human beings. The human beings are greedy by nature. So in the hereafter, each person would be eager to take one reward, even if the whole universe and all the human beings will be in the hellfire, as long as he saves his own self. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that people would flee from one another, even those who are close to the human being. So this is the time when a Muslim would ask forgiveness from those who he had transgressed against and committed sin against. And we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with matters of repentance. When I mentioned earlier that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to have mercy on us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything, encompasses the human being, of course. The human being, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for the purpose of worshipping Him alone, that He created everything for the human being, for the human being to ponder over it and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some people, they don't subject themselves to the mercy of Allah. Some people, they misunderstand the mercy of Allah. They think that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for the person to commit sins, to live a life of forgetfulness and saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiver, without doing the good deeds and without subjecting ourselves to the mercy of Allah, without asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in the verses in Surah Al-A'raf, when Musa alayhi salam was profiting, saying things about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would come after him, and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be given to the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ عَذَابِي أُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ, that my punishment, I would inflict it on whoever I will. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and my mercy encompasses everything. See, the punishment was mentioned. That means there is punishment and there is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hellfire is the place of the justice and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Jannah, the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for the believers, is the place of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. That the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. For who is this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَسَأَكْتُوبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الْآيَةِ. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ordain this mercy to who? Not to the disbelievers, but for those who have taqwa. Those who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do their best for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they give their zakah. And in the verses and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they believe in the verses and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The signs and the verses in the Quran and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The signs that they see around them, that this is all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is for those who follow, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ from al-ittiba'. Those who follow the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one that he sent as the final messenger to all mankind. So once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, then the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only for those who would follow him alayhi salatu wassalam. So this is something for us to correct our understanding, that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is so vast, it is for the believers. It's for the disbelievers in this life when it comes to their sustenance, provisions, eating and drinking, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the animals and so on. But in the hereafter, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only for the believers. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sent as a mercy to all mankind and jinn and whatever that exists. Why? Because if people would follow him, they would receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even, as the ulama they say, even for the disbelievers, those who disbelieved in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have some share of that mercy on the face of earth. How is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, there is no more overall punishment that all the human beings will be punished and drowned or whatever, like the punishments for the nations before. Once the Prophet ﷺ was sent as the final messenger, so this is even a form of mercy to the disbelievers on the face of earth, that they are protected somehow on the face of earth because of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was sent as a result of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending him. Of course, the protection is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So, the believers are the ones that they are the subject of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. That the believing men and women are supporters to one another. How is that? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They enjoy what is good, they order to do what is good, and they forbid what is evil. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And they establish the salah. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاءَ. And they pay the zakah, the obligatory charity. وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And they obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is for these people, those who have these characteristics, the believers? أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ. These are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mercy on. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty, the All-Wise. So that's why we need to subject ourselves to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that? By being among the believers, by having the proper belief, learning that in this program and others, and for us to be constantly in the state of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the state of return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we see the relationship between tawbah, or asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and the purpose of our life. That we're not created to be perfect human beings, we're created that a person would fall into mistakes and sins, but then immediately the Muslim should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why, as the ulama they call it, wadifatul umr, means this is the lifetime job. At any time, at all times and all instances and all of our affairs and all of the states that we are in, we're supposed to be in the state of repentance. It's a state. Repentance is a state. not to just repent from one sin or the other, but to be in the state of repentance, meaning that at this moment, now, without delaying it, at this moment, there's no sins as far as the person is concerned, there's no sin that we are indulged in at this moment, or something that we committed before, unless we repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we regretted it, that we quitted, that we're having the strong intentions that we would never commit it again. But the things that are lingering, the things that are being delayed, that a person would say, I would repent after I finish building my house, or after I graduate, or after this age, or after I go for Hajj. This is another sin that a person would need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Because it's something that is mandatory immediately for us to be constantly in the state of repentance. Someone might say, but then we are weak. I know myself that I might fall into the sin. Again, if the circumstances come again, I might fall into the sin. Then we need to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, we need to take the means to stay away from the sins, physical means and religious means to stay away from sins. And if the person fall into the sin again out of weaknesses, repeat the repentance again. But the shaitan, the devil, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and he took upon himself that he would deviate the human beings, he whispers to the human beings to stay away from repentance. And we need to disobey the shaitan and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be constantly in state of repentance. And that's why there are two pillars of repentance that many people are not aware of. Repentance has two pillars. One pillar is that is to leave the sin, to abandon the sin, to run away, to flee from the sin. But then this is only half of the tawbah. The second half is to adopt the religion of Islam. For our life to change completely in all of our affairs. For our goal and concern is to get to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. The most merciful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, they have bad expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it's mentioned before, but for the believers, they have good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that created them, he is the one that ordered them to repent and to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiver. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Which means, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, see how this call is so beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most high, the most powerful subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most rich, he does not need the human beings. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling his slaves, Ya ibadi. Such an honor for the person to be among the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadi from ibadah, see the purpose of our life. So that the person's goal and concern is to be among these slaves. We need to go back to the Quran and read the verses in the Quran about the characteristics of Ibadur Rahman, the slaves of Ar-Rahman, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, their characteristics in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, in the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, at the end of Surah Al-Furqan, and throughout the Quran, pondering over the verses of the Quran, what are these characteristics for the person to embrace all the religion of Islam in its totality. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. See, Ya عِبَادِي, my slaves, those who transgressed upon themselves, they are still the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sins did not take them outside the fold of Islam. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. But it's not something for the person to commit sins and to insist in committing sins. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Because He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just, and he informed us that his punishment is severe, subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَبِّ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. That inform my slaves that the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so vast, and that he subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is also very severe. So the Muslims, they live with the fear and the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the verse says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. O my slaves, those who transgressed the limits, they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is for them? لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair. Do not give up on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so vast. Those who would be in the state of despair, they would say, we are sinners. We would never be forgiven. This is a sin. This is having bad expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believers, they will subject themselves to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by having the good hope, the hope for the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they do the good deeds, when they would repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not when the person is in the state of sin and having the good expectations, it doesn't work this way. But for those who would return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed, verily, no doubt, that He forgives all sins. Jami'an means all sins. If a person during our lifetime, before the soul reaches the hulqum, reaches here, reaches the throat, and before the sun would rise from the west, which is one of the major signs of the hereafter, before these two things happens, if a person would repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the repentance. So that's why this is our job in our life. That's why this is the lifetime job, to be in state of repentance, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, all the time, so that the person would save oneself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the authentic hadith reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ, which means, O people, O mankind, repent to Allah. The disbelievers, they need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. Repenting to Allah meaning to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disbelief takes the person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Renegate from the mercy of Allah. He or she needs to repent and to return to the one that created him or her. To embrace the religion of Islam, to submit oneself to the most merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to willingly worship him, the most high. And for the sinners, once they commit a sin, they are away from the mercy of Allah, they need to return to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiven his past and present and future sins, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because indeed I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times in a day. 100 times a day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. What about us, those who are bound to make mistakes? Aren't we in need of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? This is something that we are in need of. Without the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we heard before, we deserve to be punished, because we committed sins, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us. That's why this is a lifetime job. Something that we should understand, what is tawbah? What are the rulings of tawbah? The comprehensive meaning of tawbah, that is not just to repent from one sin versus another. It's our whole entire life, we are in state of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from jahl, from ignorance. To return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have knowledge. To get to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. To stay away from being lazy and in being intoxicated in this life in state of forgetfulness. To be focused and aware of what is the purpose of our life. And to have the patience to fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that we have to do constantly. To return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why this is the first thing that he mentioned, at-tawbah. And at-tawbah, or repentance, or returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a mandatory thing. It's not an optional thing. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, which means that repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of you. All of you, without any exceptions. This is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of us to repent to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stay away from the ways of the shaitan. And there are many rules again to tawbah, many things for us to learn when it comes to tawbah, but this is something that would give us an idea that when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, we would have deficiencies, yes. And that's why we would complete and perfect these deficiencies with what? With being constantly in the state of repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. The two are together. Know that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the tawheed. This is the purpose of our life. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one that we worship. We negate, we deny, we disbelieve and all that is being worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we stay away from it, and we free ourselves from it, and we disbelieve in it, and we say that the only one that we worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. And that's what makes the person in the state of Al-Islam. And then, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for your sins. Why? Because we're bound to make mistakes. So forgiveness would perfect one's iman. The forgiveness would make the person have a complete iman. There's a complete iman and there's a deficient iman, yes. And that's why the iman increases and decreases. And it's mentioned in many verses in the Quran that when a verse is revealed, it would increase the belief of the believers and so on. And there are certain things that would make the belief decrease. So how can we make sure that our iman is constantly increasing and elevating? By constantly being in the state of repentance. Because the sin would cause the deficiency to the iman, would decrease the iman. If a person dies in the state of iman that is weak, deficient, pay attention to this, because this is very serious. If a person dies in the state of a weak iman, iman is deficient. And how iman is deficient? By sins. If a person dies in that state, still in the fold of Al-Islam, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive such a person, or that person will be punished, and then eventually would enter Jannah. But who have the patience to stay in the hellfire for a blink of an eye? It is our job in this life not to be in the state of a deficient iman. Some people are satisfied with this. They would say, our iman is weak, we're okay, we're better than other people. This is a disaster for a person to be satisfied with the state of a deficient iman. The state of a complete iman, it doesn't mean that the person will be a perfect human being. We need to pay attention to these understandings. The human beings are human beings, are weak by nature. But it means the state of complete iman is when the person is in the state of repentance. In the state of repentance from false beliefs, to correct our beliefs, to believe in the way of the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the belief of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, and Talha, and Zubayr, and others. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with, and they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it's mentioned in the Quran. These are the ones that we need to follow their way, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives among you, he would see so many differences. So what is the solution? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. Which means, stay on my sunnah, my way, and the way of the rightly guided Khalifa after me. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum, and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said alayhi salatu wasalam, bite on it with your molar teeth. Don't let it go, because people will try to take it away from you. So we need to be steadfast on the proper belief, on the proper methodology of understanding the religion of Al-Islam. That this religion of Al-Islam is not subjected to the desires of the people, that anybody that would say I'm a Muslim, they can understand and interpret the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ the way that they like. It is not based on our desire or our environment or the 20th century or this or that. It's based on the protected revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Wahyu al-Ma'soom. The protected revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we need to go back and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. How this religion was practiced at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at the time of the early generations of Al-Islam, in every word and every action, in all of our affairs. This is something that we need to put the effort in learning the deen of Al-Islam and applying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in our belief, in our acts of worship to pray like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, in our mannerism, the rights of others, all of our affairs, we need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to stay away from the ways, for example, we might have been brought up to do things according to our environment, whatever our environment is. But we don't know if this is the way of the Prophet ﷺ or not. We need to repent from that. We need to stay away from that. We need to adopt the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the ways of the early generations of Islam. So whether it's in our belief, in our ibadah, in the halal, in the haram, in the way we dress, in the way we eat, in the way we walk, in the etiquettes and the mannerism, everything. And it's all there and it's all been preserved for us. For us to seek this knowledge and to imitate the best people ever brought to mankind. This is what would unite the Muslims together. What is wrong with the habits and the culture of the early generations of Islam? What is wrong with that? Even if it's only culturally things. Something that we need to even adopt in our lives. Of course, with the rulings and the regulations that the ulama, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them, mentioned. We cannot take a step unless we do that based on knowledge, not based on desires. Sometimes the desires can be when it comes to sins, and sometimes the desire can be in something that a person loved the religion so much, but it might make the person fall into extremism. So that's why the shaitan, he's on both sides of a sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. One side is the extremism, also away from the way of the Prophet ﷺ. And another way is the way of forgetfulness and sins and disbelief and so on and so forth. So we need to be, or to hold fast on the straight path by following the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the way it was practiced at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So the repentance, and to be in state of repentance, is to basically we need to re-examine everything in our life. And see how we are interacting with others, how all of our affairs is, and to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the knowledge, seeking the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guide us at all of our affairs. We need the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the most important dua and the most important surah in Surah Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. From the moment that we wake up till the next day, the same time, we need the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking knowledge, and we need to act according to the knowledge that we know. So repentance, again, we need to correct our understanding. It's something that is very comprehensive. It's the whole religion of Islam for us to constantly be in the state of return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing. The second thing is al-istighfar, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And tawbah and al-istighfar, they both go together. And that's why if tawbah is mentioned alone, it means al-istighfar, it means to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. If al-istighfar is mentioned alone, it also means to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they're both mentioned in the same context, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ, that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, then repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means there are slight difference between al-istighfar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we heard of what repentance is for the person to be in state of return, returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, changing our life, abandoning the sin, staying away from it. And when it comes to forgiveness, we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the outcome of the sins that we committed. One way is, or one thing is to stay away from the sin. This is repentance, and this is mandatory. But then a person might stay away from the sin, but still the punishment of that sin, a person might be punished as a result of the sin being committed. That's why asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness is such an important thing. For a person to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins, repenting and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sins to be forgiven, as it's mentioned in the verses that we recited, they both go hand in hand. So this is the second thing for the person to achieve in this life, to be in state of repentance, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness at all times. And the Prophet ﷺ had gave the glad tidings for those who would find in the Day of Judgment in their book of good deeds many istighfar, many times that the person would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us that in many ways or forms, one of which is called Sayyidul Istighfar, which means the chief of all ways and forms to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This is such an important dua, something that you can get from the authentic books of hadith, you can get it from the Muslim citadel or fortress of the Muslim. This Sayyidul Istighfar, where the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say Allahumma anta Rabbi in the morning and in the evening. And he said, whoever says this dua in the morning and he dies throughout the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would admit such a person to Jannah. And if a person would say this during the night and he dies during the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make that person admitted to Jannah. And this is an authentic hadith that shows the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that we should not leave whatsoever in all of our days and nights. Allahumma anta Rabbi, briefly, which means, O Allah, you are my Rabb, You are my creator, provider, sustainer. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت. خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت. أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. If you ponder over this dua, you would find that asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness came at the end. The first part of the dua, most of it, is basically the person admitting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the only one worthy of worship. He's the one that created us, and we are His slaves. See the humbleness. We need to be in that state of humbleness. خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ. You created me, and I am your slave. And I am on your ahd, on your covenant, and your promise, being steadfast, doing the best we can to fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of what we did. And you would admit and acknowledge the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we compare the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, compare it to our actions, we would see how much we are in need of the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we did not fulfill the state of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after being in that state of humbleness, a person would say, فَغْفِرْ لِي. Then forgive me. Why? Because you're the only one that forgives the sins. So that's why the heart has to have that state of humbleness, that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he mentioned a statement which means that we are in need to be in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we are eating and drinking and in our homes, the same way the person in the middle of the ocean, hanging into a piece of wood, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is the affairs of that person? How much he feels that he is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine someone that is drowning and all the means are not there, how his affairs will be. Inshallah, we'll continue that after the break. Stay with us. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. Welcome back. The things that we're still talking about, the tawbah and al-istighfar, the means in this life for the person to protect oneself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about the tawbah and the istighfar, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, such an act of worship that we need to make sure that we are constantly in that state, constantly in the state of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, so that when the moment of death comes, the person is in that state. We won't depend on other things after of our life, as it will come inshallah ta'ala in the coming episodes. But this is something, our job in this life, to be constantly in the state of repentance and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. If we ponder over our acts of worship, see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, ordered us to do the acts of worship that He loves subhanahu wa ta'ala. Towards the end of our acts of worship, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. That's why it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once we make salam after we finish the obligatory salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar. He would say, astaghfirullah, 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 asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness after the ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as it's mentioned in the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah about the Hajj, that when the person would fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this pillar of Al-Hajj and going from one ritual to the other with the efforts of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pilgrimage, those who made Hajj, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is also mentioned in the Quran, about those who would stand up at night and make salah. They're not committing sins, they're making salah, making one of the most virtuous deeds, standing up in salah to make qiyamul layl, tahajjud. And then at the last part of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the believers and He said, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. Those who would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness at the time of As-Sahar, which is the last part of the night. They stood up at night to make salah, and then at the end they sit like sinners, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Why is that? Because this is not just for someone when he commits a sin. This is a state that the believers should be in at all times. That no matter what we do in our acts of worship, we should not be arrogant. We should not think that I make salah and I pay zakah and I do all of these good deeds, I deserve. We do not deserve anything unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mercy on us. And that's why we need to constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, that we did not fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the ibadah, to the salah, to the different good deeds and so on and so forth. And that's why constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, being in the state of repentance, as we heard before, to be always in the state of return, that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in need to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all of our affairs. We talked about tawbah. We talked very briefly about al-istighfar. That means the practical part of it in our daily life. We need to be constantly in that state, the morning and the evening adhkar, the things to be said after the salat to perfect our acts of worship and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there are other two things in this life that we live in. There are means for the person to protect oneself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the good deeds that wipes the bad deeds and the calamities that afflicts the person. We need to talk about that in some details if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life. What are the levels of the good deeds? How can we know what is the best good deed for a person to do at that particular time, at that particular state, and so on and so forth? And the same thing with calamities. Do we ask for calamities? Of course not. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us in this life and in the hereafter. But how to deal with calamities when it afflicts, when something bad happens to the person? All of this, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life, we will talk about it inshallah ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life next week. Till then, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be among the obedient slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
Now I became sinless and free, the world around is breezy, and I stood in a line to plea, rushing to its bounty. Oh God, have mercy to whom God.